Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And we're here on the 14th. You caught me as I was having a sip of coffee.
Oh, so sorry. What kind of blend?
You never said I was going to get the music started. Right.
Sorry about that. What kind of blend?
It's an edit. This is some Mexican instant coffee.
Oh.
It's not really a blend. It's nothing fancy.
Did you use the word instant coffee?
Yeah, I did. Mexican. I'll make that clear. Made in Mexico.
The John C. Dvorak respectometer just went a notch to the left. Anyway, hey, here we are.
I had a show to do. I didn't have time to make a cup of coffee.
Yeah, you're coming a little bit a little bit off. We'll see how that works. But here we are, middle of...
Bucello.
Middle of March. And
it's boiling hot out here.
Really?
Yeah, it was 87 yesterday. Today it's 80-something.
I was up in New York over the weekend, and it was quite bitterly cold. I had quite an experience in New York.
Yeah, let me reiterate. It's 87 yesterday. It's in the high 80s today.
Wow.
So I'm sorry it's cold back there.
Yeah, in New York.
Yeah, what was the experience?
Well, I mean, just went up for a birthday party and started my Saturday out at 2 p.m. I drank from 2 p.m. to 2 a.m. I haven't done that in years.
It sounds like too much drinking.
We started out, we went to the Chelsea Market and went to this place, had a couple of growlers, a bunch of us, and then went into this area in Chelsea Market that had just piles of oysters and clams and lobsters and shrimp and raw scallops on the half shell. And just went on. We just ordered piles of this stuff. And then we went back to the hotel, polished off a bottle of Macallan 12 double cask. Went then from there over to Delmonico's, the oldest steakhouse in New York, and polished off a lot of other various drinks. I was in such a scotch buzz that I don't even recall ordering what particular temperature I'd like my meat. And it came out very red, and I ate it. I don't usually eat rare meat like that.
It's the only way to go.
Yeah, it was pretty rare. It was very good. Then we went to a place that you would have liked. This is right up your alley, called McSorley's.
Oh, yeah.
McSorley's.
Yeah, the old bar.
The old bar from the 1854.
Yeah, it's an old bar from the 1800s, yes.
So for those of you that don't know, this place is an Irish bar in Manhattan, and they serve two things. They serve a light beer and a dark beer. That's it.
It's very old-fashioned, and it's got a floor that is original.
Yeah, and with sawdust and all.
Yeah.
And then they have a plate that they give you on the table with cheese, saltines, and raw onions. And you eat that as you're drinking.
You eat that as your chick magnet.
So I was there until about 2 a.m. and had a rough day. And then we lost an hour, of course, for daylight savings time.
You had a rough day. I'm sure you did. But you've never seen these guys before? What was the deal?
It was a 50th birthday party, and there's just a great group of guys and gals, and we just had as we say in the old days, we had quite the pisser.
Yeah.
Great time.
No kidding.
Well, I have a big birthday coming up next week, by the way.
Well, do it again.
Yeah, I may. My March 20th. When's your birthday?
April 5th.
Oh, so both of us. You're a couple of years my senior.
Yeah, a couple.
Anyway, that's, of course, a call for donations early in the show, a little birthday donation. If you want to do anything that will help, that would be much appreciated. You can go over to DH Unplugged and check on the donate to the show button. Very easy to do. And, of course, we are talking live. We also have a nice chat room group this evening. I like one of the handles somebody's using tonight called Not Bill Ackman.
Yeah.
So let me get you up to date on some of the markets that's going on, John. Got wholesale inflation.
Yes.
Wholesale inflation is moving higher as wage growth is starting to pick up and is showing a sustained growth. And right now, bond yields have been creeping higher. Tomorrow's a big day.
Tomorrow's a huge day.
Huge.
Everybody's predicting tomorrow's the beginning of the end.
Really? Who's that? I haven't heard that.
David Stockman's one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What is he saying?
The 15th of March is the day that all hell breaks loose.
Is this a cycle issue or is this based on the Fed? Well,
to me, it's a cycle issue, but he's basing it on both the Fed and a bunch of other stuff that's going on.
Interesting.
And a lot of people are basing it on the fact it's the 100th anniversary and it's a big celebration for the Rothschilds.
So they're just going to take it down to spit on them.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that would be it.
Those damn Rothschilds, we have no idea how much they really own, but half the world is pretty much the estimate.
Yeah, that's about it.
So there's a 100% chance of a Fed rate hike. That's what's being priced into the market right now. And I got to tell you something. The very rarely does the Fed fund futures expectations get to a point of 100% without the Fed actually moving. See, now it's priced in so they could just do it.
Yes, you're right. It's a good point.
So
yeah. Since everyone says they're absolutely going to do it and there was all a guarantee 100%, they have no choice.
Right, and there's no surprise. We're not going to surprise markets. Don't worry about it. I put on the show notes for this episode number 353 of DH Unplugged. In the show notes, you can click that when it becomes live. We will have a variety of charts there available, et cetera. But I put together the yield curve, which is the rate of interest that the bonds pay over a period of time from the 1 month treasury all the way through the 30 year. And I did it from just before the election, which is the green line, and the current. And you can see how much more of a spread there is compared to where there was before. In other words, it was the 1 month or so was yielding below 0.25% just before the election. And now it's yielding 0.5%. And this goes on the whole length of the curve. And you can see how much higher there are the yields are for these various areas. So you can see how bonds have actually come down dramatically and yields have come up over this period of time. Almost 1% on the 30 year.
It's a lot.
So we'll see what happens tomorrow with that. So
beginning of the end.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I've been talking about is this whole concept of the recent upside of the markets and the expectations that are built in could be challenged right now because we have the it's kind of like two bodies of water colliding, and that's where you get all the waves going on. So you have on one side the monetary policy reversing course, and on the other side you have fiscal, which is looking to do a dramatic job of increasing things. It's kind of like trying to walk up the down escalator. So I have a feeling there's going to be.
I think that's a crazy analogy, but I'm all in.
Yeah, there's going to be some turbulence, which we haven't seen. I mean, 0.25% down, 0.5% down on the markets, but no real gyrations except for some consolidation and a ramp higher. So I think there's going to be the potential for this, and maybe this whole cycle thing for Stockman, is. Maybe it'll play out.
Well, we'll find out. Well, he presents it in such a way that it could take a while, but tomorrow marks the beginning.
So is this one of those predictions that it can take a while because this way he can be right potentially eventually?
That would be my guess, yes. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
But he definitely is marking the day.
So yeah, on the 15th, what they're going to see at market top, and then over the next possibly 3 years, we're going to break down up to,
He's not getting out of 2017 with his predictions. He's convinced it's going to happen this year. I'm kind of in his camp.
It would seem that if they don't get some of this stuff nailed down and more of this crazy, the news flow is just remarkable, isn't it? In terms of the politics, in terms of the
oh yeah, it's actually, people or the smart money stops paying attention to it.
Yeah, I would agree. It's almost gotten to a point that you just want to turn it all off.
Yeah.
Almost. Unless, a little glutton for punishment there.
It depends on how much you want to be entertained.
It is entertaining, but some of it's depressing. Let's be honest. It is a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
Last week, we discussed the potential for a new Bitcoin ETF. It was under review, and it was possibly, this is the Winklevoss twins. had been trying.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they've been trying to do this for about 2 years. This is their thing, Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. For those of you who, that don't know, this is these are the two that got ripped off by Zuckerberg with Facebook. You know, they were supposedly the inventors.
Who ripped off who, but okay.
Yeah, somebody got supposedly ripped off, but everybody in the end did quite well, some much better than others. But the Winklevoss twins ended with a few $100 million.
Right, and now they're doing this Bitcoin thing.
Now they're doing the Bitcoin thing. So Bitcoin, the ETF, which was going to be under the symbol COIN for coin, was up for review, up for approval, and for whatever reason, squashed. Nope, didn't get approved. So Bitcoin dropped about 15% on the news.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then snapped right back.
Yeah, it's been doing the snap in the back.
Yeah.
But I wonder why it was. It's probably because they don't want to encourage this. I mean, if derivatives and some of these other things aren't bad enough, there's nothing here. You're just trading on nothing.
I mean, you can make that argument to a degree with some of the commodities that don't have.
I think you can almost make that argument with index funds.
Well, how can you make the argument with index funds if there is some, if they are backed, not backed, I shouldn't say backed, if they are actually holders of the securities?
Well, if they're holders of the securities, okay.
Yes, they are.
But these people are also holders of the Bitcoin.
Yeah, but the Bitcoin is an ethereal kind of notional value except for what people are putting on it. It's kind of like I don't even know what it's kind of like. I mean, you could say it's
kind of like nothing.
It's kind of like, it's like a Seinfeld commodity. It's like a Seinfeld currency, a show about nothing that has some value. Wasn't that Seinfeld? It was a big show about nothing?
Yes.
So
that has some value. Well, maybe.
Yeah, Bitcoin dropped, like I said, 15% of the news. It snapped back. A lot of money is coming out of a variety of areas around the world and going into the Bitkin. So we'll see how that plays out. But I don't know. The whole Bitcoin thing is a little bit far-fetched for me. And until it has utility.
The two of us have missed a lot of opportunities at double and three baggers.
Oh, no question about that. But we have a couple of Bitcoins people donated to us. When I say a couple, I mean a couple of small
zero percentages.
Yes, like 0.02 or something like that. But you know what? We're riding the wave. We're in. We can publicly say that we are holders of Bitcoin.
Yeah, dump it.
Crude oil is falling off a cliff. Inventories keep on growing. One of the interesting things was that we saw that over the last several weeks that the spec traders were at their highest levels in any history that can be found of their long positions. And that's always a recipe for disaster.
Huh.
You know, you have everybody on one side of the boat and who's left to buy? And things come down.
Yeah, somebody was showing a chart on Twitter that was it was like one of these confidence charts, and it looked as if to me that it was just shaping up to be another 2007. Even though it was, look at these numbers are great, but it was just the same thing happened before 2007 when the thing collapsed. I'm telling you, we got problems.
Yeah. Somebody that's in the chat room is asking if we still accept Bitcoins. We accept Bitcoins. We accept Persian rugs. We accept, cases of hairspray, whatever it is. We're equal opportunity acceptors, right? Yeah. I mean, if anybody wants to, they can email us and I'll figure out how to get you our Bitcoin thing, our wallet or whatever it is. So here was I thought it was interesting. The cover of this week's Bloomberg Businessweek magazine. Big Tobacco is getting serious about tech delivery of nicotine. These guys just won't give up. It was said, take a look at this. We have a picture. It's a picture of a dude with the new Marlboro man. Is that what we would say that was?
Yeah, he's got a vape thing going on.
Yeah, he's got a vape thing that they were all getting into it, and they went pretty big article discussing how these companies are.
You know what it looks like, the picture?
What?
Looks like he's got a thermometer in his mouth.
It looks like he's got a tampon in his mouth.
Well, that too. But the thermometer, you know, those modern thermometers with digital readout, that's what it looks like. He must be sick.
Oh, you think so? So maybe he's...
I mean, it just looks stupid. Unless there's some vape coming out, I looks like a thermometer. Should be some vape coming out, don't you think?
It should be, but I guess that's the point of it all. You don't, when you vape, you're getting just the essence. I mean, you get
a big cloud coming off of some of these things.
Some of them you do, but some of it depends on how the vape works. This looks to me, and how I feel about this is smoking is kind of like, oh, it's this, I don't know. I think back to the days of the Native Americans, and they have the peace pipes, and it's a kind of a social thing. This is like a direct nicotine injection system.
Yeah, they might as well. Well, the patch does that too.
That's what it looks like to me. It's just, let me just get the nicotine in my body and not bother the people around me. So they'll make a nicotine pill. Why don't they just make a nicotine pill? Is that not?
I think they have nicotine pills already.
Yeah, I don't know. They do. Well, they're getting into this. They're switching over. They bought up a lot of the various vape companies. They've also been working on a variety of about the technological delivery of nicotine. And if that's not a turnoff, I'm a cigar smoker, by the way. And if somebody said, hey, you know what? We'll give you a cigar that you just directly inject whatever the particular chemicals are.
Yeah, you smoke cigars because you enjoy some brands of cigars.
That's right.
Yeah. But so cigar smokers tend to, not all of them, but most of them, except, you know, guys who smoke Crooks or some old-fashioned thing, they tend to, like the taste of these things, especially the good ones. The Cubanos are quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. But this is just creepy.
Yeah.
It's a whole different thing. And now with it's all the big guys. Now with the changing ways, now we have, kind of the next way of smoking or unsmoking or non-smoking, whatever you want to call it. There was another interesting statistic that I saw that was very interesting in an article. It was that this industry tracker, Beverage Marketing Corporation, whoever the heck they are, they announced that bottled water.
Yes, I heard this.
Surpassed carbonated soft drinks in 2016 to become the largest beverage category by volume, capping what it described as a remarkable decades-long streak of vigorous growth. Now, let me just tell you. You're going to back me on this. I know this. Back in the day, the thought of having to buy water was like, hey, John, one day you're going to have to buy air.
Yeah, it's a kind of an insult to the country.
It's a terrible,
our water
terrible
coming
insult.
Out the faucets is supposed to be so good that why would you buy it bottled? It doesn't make any sense.
And we could both agree that some areas are better than others and maybe you need a filter and all that. But either this is a...
Never used to think that way.
Right, but maybe this is a... Is this either a confirmation of how polluted we have made our water or the incredible job of marketing that these companies have done to let us believe that drinking anything but their particular bottled water, which is probably nothing more than someone standing over a tap, filling these damn things up and then selling them laughing all the way to the bank.
I think it's a good... Just marketing. I agree with that theory.
But that's why these companies like, Coke and Pepsi have bought up all these various.
Well, they saw the trend. People like, and there's also the tendency to hydrate. So people, instead of buying a little container, they have the bottled water in their hand. And then they walk around, they got a backpack, and they got the water stuck in the backpack. And they're wandering around, and they pull the water out, and then they very carefully. It's like smoking, it's like a ritual. They carefully unscrew the cap of the crystal geyser.
Yeah.
Then they take a very little sip
just
of it.
Just touching of the lid.
Then they put the cap on very carefully and stick it. And then they stick this back in. It's like a ritual. It's like the people like puffing all the time on their cigarette. And this has replaced that.
Yeah.
And it's not as cool, I guess. I'm not one of these nuts, but it's not as cool, I guess, to have like a, unless you have some very expensive special plastic thing that is, got something else going on, but it's not as handy as these cheap little plastic bottles of water, the ones that crinkle, they're so thin and they're polluting. The bottle itself is horrible. And all of a sudden, that's the thing to do. You got to have this water with you.
Now, someone in the chat room is challenging you, saying, who does that? I've never seen this hydration ritual. Now, let me just tell you something.
Holy mackerel.
Let me
get out more.
Besides that, yeah. And some people are saying in the chat room, now, hey, I do that. Let me tell you, I was just visiting my father-in-law in the hospital just a few hours ago. I get in the elevator and I hear the unscrewing starting. You know, it's a metal bottle. I hear the, they don't just unscrew. They, if you could slowly turn the top, right, with that noise. And then she.
Yes, you have to do it slowly.
Yeah, you have to do it slowly. And then you do, and you, and she just took a little bit of a taste of it and then kind of felt how much was possibly left and then took another taste. Then, of course, put the cap on for a moment, you know, that moment, that move, right? Put the cap on for a moment, thinking that maybe she's going to screw it back on, but no, takes it off and decides to take another sip. Until yes, just
the
just,
old double sip yeah. move.
And then just kind of does another jiggle to see if there's anything left. And then takes that last moment of drop that happened to be left in the bottom. And then did the screwing back on of the top of this metal container, of which there was a little hole in the top, a little area, which clearly was available if you wanted to clip it onto something.
There you go. Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, this is around here, especially the Bay Area, or LA is worse. It's just is the this ritual is just it's the thing.
Yeah,
and these, it happens in the office too. There's all these people in the modern office, and I won't say it's just women, but it's a lot of women, and they have the bottle there on the desk, and they do the same thing every time they want to contemplate or something. They grab the bottle. And this is like just the smoking. It's like smoking, the old ritual people had. They used to do things like they used to tap the pack, bang on the something with the whole pack, and then they, you know, pull out the cigarette. And some there's guys that would like to do some tricky thing with their wrist so they could shake the pack, and out comes the cigarette, kind of pops up like magic trick.
Oh, and then the old Zippo lighter.
And then they
lighter.
Grab the grab Zippo. The smoke from the pack.
Yeah.
It'd be sticking up, and they grab, they take the pack, hold it to their mouth, and pull out the smoke, and then they, you know, do something with the pack, fold it on their T-shirt or who knows what. It's nonsense.
And then they take the Zippo and do one of the Zippo moves, you know, the snapping of the Zippo.
Oh, yes. There's a lot of those moves. Yeah. The Zippo is the, it was the way to go.
Or the opening it and then quickly moving it back across your jeans to light it.
Well, I haven't seen that
oh,
much. But I have seen, I seen when they light it and then they snap their wrist and close the Zippo.
Yeah. 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 So now where else do you get this kind of, where else do you get this kind of depth of research?
We get it from the, because the chat room challenged the
this is unbelievable what people get for this show. It's amazing. Yeah. All right. Getting back to some investing, we have to talk about Ackman, Valeant Pharmaceuticals, the once high flyer, $250 per share, amazing company that just bought up other companies and did all sorts of financial engineering and then raised prices and, you know, just this hedge fund hotel type of deal. Well, guess what? He was all behind this. He had all the faith and all the support of all these guys. He was absolute about this company, bought it at about, I don't know, $190 a share, quickly moved to two. He sold 27.2 million shares yesterday and shopped the block, sold to the highest bidder at 11.
Yeah, the high was 260.
Yeah.
So he sold it at 11. So this is an example. And he bought it at 90, so 190. So I guess he was, this is a buy high, sell low guy.
Well, this is bad. This is not the kind of loss you want to be like, let me check my tax returns and see how I'm doing this year. This is one of those things he'll roll forward for a while.
Oh, yeah. No, he's got to roll forward for the next decade.
I mean, he lost it for himself and for his investors. He also was the guy that was involved in JCPenney and thought that this was the greatest thing ever and stood behind that CEO at the time, Ron.
I'm not following his advice.
Oh, no. Yeah, maybe that would be a bad thing. Yep. Talking about a little bit segueing into the area of politics, which I got a few emails about my discipline. Oh, by the way, the Disciplined Investor Show, 500 episodes.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. 10 years. Just this last weekend, had a special show going back and picking out some of our favorite guests from back in 2009, 2010, 13. Kind of a cool listen, about 2-hour special that was put out. The federal government's top ethic. Oh, but the point was that some people were like, oh, you're getting a little political. I'm like, I'm not getting political. I don't talk anything political on this show. Yes. On the Disciplined Investor. Oh, no. Anyway, the federal government's top ethics official on Thursday chastised the White House for declining to discipline President Trump's senior advisor, Kellyanne Conway, for her on-air endorsement of Ivanka Trump's clothing line. By the way, there were some numbers out tonight also that showed that in January, February, the clothing lines, the sales at various stores were up dramatically.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
It's all the free publicity.
Of course.
The guys who dropped the lines, I think were pressured by who knows who.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts?
So what do they wanted to do to Kellyanne Conway? Is it this top ethics official? Is he like, do they want to see her spanked?
I don't know. The word chastised. I mean,
exactly was chastised. Yeah. Oh, you did bad. It's nonsense. Who cares?
I think the top ethics official is saying that, you know, somebody needs to be the party who's going to get whipped a bit here in order to tamp down the potential for any kind of impropriety that may happen with this group of bankers that are leading the charge here. That's what I think they're trying to do. I'm not saying that's right or not. I'm just saying that's what I think they're trying to do.
That could be.
Because they're trying to kind of put a little bit of sidelines on there to say, listen, stay within this area because you guys have a very easy ability. Since a lot of you don't know the damn rules because you've never been in politics, like what happened when Sean Spicer, the employment numbers came out on Friday, and 24 minutes after that, he said, oh, look how great this is, blah, 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 blah. Supposedly there's some rules somewhere that says that politicians don't have to wait a three-hour period before they could say any of that.
Huh.
And he did it in 24 minutes, and that's not allowable under whatever law that was put into place back in like 1984.
Well, these laws are put into place probably for good reason.
Yeah, but the problem is that this group doesn't know them.
No, I'm sure they don't. There's probably, I don't know how they're going to find out about them unless they get scolded.
Mm.
I'm sure Kellyanne Conway knows now not to just sit there and promote products. I mean, although she's not really, I guess she does work there.
Well, where is she working?
Yeah, you're not supposed to promote products. You're not even supposed to accept anything as a gift, nothing.
Right. Well, and there's some rules actually, even though the president has, doesn't have any conflict of interest issues because of the fact that he's president, there are some rules that disallow any payment from foreign governments. And already we're seeing some things trickle up to the top about, I think in Kuwait, there was a big party at one of the hotels of Trump, and that means that he'll profit from it. And it was paid for by the Kuwaiti government.
Did you see the news about the sailors that got busted?
What sailors?
The whole, like, 27 officers and a whole bunch of people were busted because of this guy named Fat Leonard or something like that. It was throwing big parties on the ships and loading up the ship with hookers and throwing $2,000 bottles of cognac at these guys and all the rest of it. It's fascinating.
Who was the who had the money to do it? The sailors had the money?
No, this guy in Singapore.
Oh.
Some Singaporean.
And what would be the point of that?
He was getting them to accept contracts or to sign off on deals. I have no idea. You have to read the whole thing. It's very funny.
Yeah. Rob in the chat room, it's not the Logan Act. There may be something about the Logan Act. There's actually another name for
it. The Logan Act is from the 1700s. Nothing's ever been done with it.
Yeah, there's something else. It's called, I can't remember the name of it. There is. Look up about foreign profits from foreign interests.
He's talking about the Emoluments Clause.
Yeah, the Emoluments Clause. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with the Logan Act.
Exactly. Emolument. All right. Let's see. Moving along. Oh, wait a second here. Just 1 second here. I gotta click. Just.
I got a little thing I can just fill with.
Yes, go ahead.
So I bought one of these little 4K video cameras. That's like the GoPro Hero 4K or whatever it is. It's $400 for that thing.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch, and I wrote it. This is my PC Magazine column. I'm writing about these things. So I bought one. I bought this little Homkim, some unbelievable off brand. Comes with a million accessories. It's got all this stuff. It does, pretty much looks to me like the GoPro 4K, and it's a 4K. It does all these things, and it's like $50.
Does it go underwater?
Yeah, it comes with a underwater case, free.
And is there any wonder why GoPro stocks in the toilet?
Well, you know, I was thinking when I bought this thing, I said to myself, this reminds me of you and that Fitbit clone you bought when you were in Asia. even though that didn't get over to Amazon. And it's just like they make these things. And there's, then I found out, I was looking, doing some research for the column. There's about 50 of these little guys, that unknown brands, and they make pretty much the same little camera, which is very small. You know, that you ever had a GoPro in your hands. This thing is dinky. And this is the same thing exactly. And I think it's probably made by one of the same factories. It's just, but it seems to work. Comes with three batteries, this particular model. It was just kind of taken aback by this. And yes, that's exactly what I can't see how GoPro, I mean, unless they can keep all these guys just small timers and keep them off the market, I don't see how GoPro can survive this onslaught.
They can't. They're not. Which takes us to Snapchat. Because, yes, you know, Snapchat is being described as a camera company. That's what they describe. So they're a camera company. You look at any of the kind of financial, it's a camera company.
Well, didn't they make those glasses that got little cameras in them?
Yeah, they got that too. But it's a camera company. They take pictures. It takes pictures with your, well, with your camera from your phone.
With your camera, with your real camera.
Yeah, so Snapchat, let me kind of go down to this. We'll get back to some other matters in a moment. Snapchat is the next closest to the pin for the Asian plug. So if you want to guess what the price of Snapchat will be on the close in May, go over to DH Unplugged right now. This should be a fun one. And you can actually put the price of what it will be, and you could possibly have the opportunity to win a I got a new shipment of shirts in, by the way, this week. We were out. We had one small left and I think one large. But now we got a brand new shipment in. So we're good to go. And So what you do is you go over there and you guess the price. Okay, hang on a second. Somebody's in the chat room doing something really not good. So, yep. Banned. He's banned.
Yeah, see, this is your chat room.
Yeah, going away. All right, so, yeah, he's been banned. Bye. Anyway, so let's talk about the winner of the close to the pin for Boeing. We had pretty close, actually. You were about 2.5% away. I was about 3.48% away. And the winning price was only 25 cents away. This is Roman C. Roman, nice. Roman, he came up at $178.45. And the actual finishing price of Boeing was $178.70. The entire group was off pretty well, about $3 off from the price. So they were not too bad. The average price per price for users, listeners was $181.35. So pretty good. But I think the chat, actually, you know what? I when the Snapchat went live, the first one to respond on Twitter about that was none only than Adam. And he says, 13.
And 13?
That's his number, 13. And he said, I'm not giving away any secrets because he said it on Twitter. That was his guess.
Well, I can give you my number so you can put it in now.
1850. Writing this now. John, Snapchat, $18.50. Okay. Currently trading right about $20 right now. Oh, let's see, about $20. But I think this is going to be a fun one.
Yeah, I think it's going to go down. I mean, it's possible that I don't see any way it can do anything else. But you never know.
We'll see. I mean, I just don't, I never understood it. It's an interesting trading position.
To me, it's a 50 cent penny stock.
I think that's where it's going to go. But
eventually.
And now everybody's upset. Oh, look what they got all these youngsters involved in. You know, they try to pull the wool over the eyes of all these millennials and all these people that love it. And they put the IPO out there and it's just going to screw these young people. Whatever.
They'll get screwed anyway.
Yeah. Either way, they get screwed. Infrastructure plan. This is supposedly a infrastructure plan for about $1 trillion. It's a nice round number, $1 trillion. The American Society.
We got the money for it.
We have the money. It's in.
No, there's a debt ceiling.
Yeah, but they'll open that up. So what?
No, they won't.
Why not?
The Democrats, even though they always want the Republicans to vote for the debt ceiling to be increased, when the thing's shoes on the other foot, they're gonna block it. The Democrats, along with the conservative, super conservative Republicans, will block it. There won't be no debt ceiling. It's going to be a mess.
You think we're going to go to the old government is going to be shut down?
Yes.
We're going to do that again, that whole thing, huh?
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Oh, personally, I'd cheer if the government shut down. That's another story.
No, things seem to go smoothly with them shut down. But then they pay. They take all the money and they put it back in the. Oh, I'm sorry, you're out of work for a month. Here's all your money. You didn't do any work for a month, but here it is. Mm. That's what's bothersome to me about it.
Yeah. Well, supposedly from the American Society of Engineers, they say it's going to cost more like $4.59 trillion. I started thinking about this. They said, in order to bring the infrastructure in the United States up to where it's supposed to, or to a B rating, an adequate rating, by 2025, it's going to cost $4.59 trillion. I started thinking about this. Well, of course the American Society of Engineers wants more money because they'll have more engineering plans to put together.
Yeah, absolutely.
So once again, we have a very biased, while it may be a correct number, I don't know. But you know what? I'm getting to the point that I'm like, I'm not trusting anybody anymore. I've just decided I'm not trusting anybody anymore. Am I so wrong?
No, I mean, I've been that way for years.
Oh, okay. Maybe you're rubbing off on me here. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson seems like he has more than one email address.
Oh, no. I've never heard of such a thing.
Did you hear this whole story?
Yeah, I did.
I don't know much about it. Who cares?
I was thinking. Who cares?
I think it's interesting, but okay. But if you want to find out more about that, go over to DH Unplugged. When you do that, before you find out about that, click the donate button and donate a couple of bucks, because if you're having any fun with what we're doing, please do so and participate. Let's see here. Marissa Meyer, about to lose her CEO job.
I thought this was been going on for a month or two.
Yeah, well, it seems that now it's going to be done, and the price has been set that she's going to receive $23 million in severance. And this is a golden parachute plan after she has made more than $150 million in salary and stock since joining the company in 2012.
Yeah, good for her. At least she wears her clothes, nice clothes.
Yeah.
She's a fashion icon.
Yeah, so she did some job on this company.
for her. I remember all these pundits. That's what gets me. I'd go back and look at these. Oh, she's so great. She's going to save the company. She's going to do this. She's going to do that. Oh, perfect pick. That's right. Put her in. It's nonsense.
Yeah, the whole thing is crazy. Moving east. Let's take a trip across the oceans. South Korea. President Park officially impeached.
It's a good one.
Lots of underhanded. Let me ask something. A governmental official who is taking all sorts of benefits from being in that position, making a lot of money on it, slanting deals and all that in Asia. So far, am I saying something that doesn't seem to be an everyday occurrence?
It sounds like old news to me.
And all of a sudden we're saying, oh, no, 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 this is not to be done. Here's the problem. This wasn't done just by her. This was like the entire, we'll call it upper management suite of government in Korea was complicit.
Yeah.
So now what? What do you just replace everybody?
I don't know what they're going to do. The whole thing seems like they just didn't like her.
Oh, you think that's what it was? They just didn't like her clothing? They say, okay, well, I don't like the way you dress. I don't like the way you look. I don't like the way you sound. Something is just we would put up with this if we thought you had a good personality, if a good singing voice. What?
Yeah, all of the above. All of the above.
God. So now they didn't like her, and they said, you know what? You're out. I don't know. It's kind of interesting because you would think that we've seen this in Brazil. We see this in Korea now. And we'll have to see how this is going to play out, I guess, around the world as more and more of these. I mean, today we saw what's his name? Filon was indicted or at least formally charged on receiving illegal monies.
Yeah.
Now I guess that puts Le Pen back up on top again.
Well, she was on top for a while. She's on top for the. It's not the way it works. Is this, they have a runoff, and that's when the Le Pen is slated to lose. Mm. It's a different system than we're used to seeing. Mm.
Did we talk at all about the Women's Day Off deal last week? You know, the women were.
No, we didn't. Now that you mention it,
I was thinking. because of course they wanted to show us the, how important they were. And I get that. Of course, that's, I don't have any problem with that. Right. But I got to tell you something. I was thinking starting next Wednesday, how about we have a men's week off?
That'd be great.
I mean, let's just, you know, just kind of see what happens then.
You're one of those guys.
Yeah. Well, I'm just one of those
guys. Instead of just ignoring it like you would should do, you are going to be kind of a dick about it.
I'm a dick about it. What I don't like is, you know, these, you have men's only club, no good. But you have women's club, it's just fine.
Yeah, well, that's always bothered me. Yes, I agree with that one.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's just, I don't get it. And when you have a men's only club that is allowed, the women join anyway. I'm joining. Can't stop me. I'm like, okay. Well, I'm not saying okay. Anyway, you don't see a lot of guys going out and saying, oh, I'm joining that women's only club. You know, yeah. or all these, you know, magazines of, you know, just for women, or this is just for women, or just on and on. Anyway, Intel. Let's get back to on the main issues here. Intel buying Mobileye, an Israeli company that makes technology and chips, et cetera, for autonomous driving.
Yeah. This, $16 billion they're paying for this thing?
Yeah, $15.5 billion. Second biggest acquisition and expensive attempt to leapfrog rivals such as Qualcomm and technology for self-driving cars. They bought them for about $63 a share. I think it's trading at about $60 a share because, always that spread before the deal's done. And 34% premium to their closing price last Friday. Big question is, why is Intel seemingly buying this and so desperate? Are they just out of ideas?
That's my guess. You know, they've seen these things. You know, the Intel has convinced itself over the years, even though it's the biggest chip company there is, that they're doomed. They really, and the whole Silicon Valley backs them up on this. Oh yeah, you guys are doomed. And it's like so they're always doing this freaky stuff, thinking, well, maybe because of, you know, Internet of Things is another thing they've fallen prey to. Well, we got to make chips for the Internet of Things. Oh, we got to make chips for the self-driving car. And it's okay, you know, fine. I mean, that's just I don't know anything they've ever done. You know, that's like they wanted to do servers for a while. Where's the, anyone have an Intel server? I don't know of one. It's always something or another. They're going to lose. They're going to keep making money as a big giant chip company, and then they're going to lose their ass on this deal, and then they're going to go off on something else because they're doomed.
Well, I mean, the question is going to be, you know, is this is a bet on Mobileye being the chip used for a variety of things like any of the autonomous vehicles, whereas there may be others out there, and hoping that this one, it's kind of like making a bet on a chip company that's going to be used in a particular phone. And if it's not, for some reason, something, you know, does a lot better. Now, I'm sure they did the due diligence. I'm sure it wasn't just I have an idea. Let's get the best name that's out there, the Mobileye, that we know makes it. And I guess they're also competing against NVIDIA in this deal, Qualcomm to a degree also. I don't know. I was just thinking about this. It seemed at the time somewhat desperate.
You're going to keep seeing that stuff from Intel. They just can't not do that. Mm.
Apple is expected to announce new products later this month, most likely between Monday, March 20th and Friday, March 24th. According to quotes going up here, little quote signs. According to a reputable supply chain analyst that was spoken to in a news source that I found, they said that the information is from its own sources and not based on other reports, which, okay. So I don't know what they're going to come out with. Is some talk about iPad something or other. I'm still waiting for the MacBook with a touchscreen, which
I have no idea why they're stalling on that idea.
Because they're petrified of losing the entire iPad business. They'll lose everything. I mean,
this is a problem that tech companies have always had, which is the... there's a term for it. It's not bastardization. It's it's where your own products kill your products.
Cannibalization.
They're because of the size of this company, they're very susceptible to this fear of cannibalization. And So that's what they're doing. And I think they're screwing up because they need to have a touchscreen laptop. Those are, I mean, I've started using them and they're fantastic.
I don't really understand why, with the technology that's out there, with the ability to do so, with all, I just don't understand why they won't, you know, I just don't understand.
Well, you just said why.
Yeah, well, I said why. You're right. But that's the only thing, other than that, I don't understand. Let's put it that way. So,
yeah.
Electronics retailer Radio Shack has filed for its second bankruptcy in 2 years. We're coming out of bankruptcy because we have a great product that we don't think that Amazon's going to be able to touch or any of the other online retailers. We're going to open up a knick-knack shop with, you know, people in there that people just love to come to Radio Shack. What a great idea. Oh, well. Even though they tried to get involved with this whole Sprint deal and, you know, Sprint acquired like 1,700 stores and all that. And it's just the whole thing's going belly up.
I don't know what happened to them. They had a lot of action to themselves, and I don't know how they could make such a mistake.
It reminds me of a
even as a real estate company, all these stores they had all over the place could have been sold to somebody.
Well, unless they were all leased.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of them at this point. I'm sure early on, you know, it reminds me of this in San Francisco. There's this very famous jewelry shop called Shreve and Company. And at sometime in the 70s or 80s or somewhere along the line, they got talked into this nonsense about lease buyback.
Mm.
So they sold their flagship store, which is a classic, I think, from the late 1800s, that had their name emblazoned in the, you know, carved in marble, Shreve and Company. And they sold it so they could do a lease deal on their own building. And then, you know, meanwhile, the building gets bought and sold a couple of times. They get kicked out. They don't even own the building anymore. So they got ousted because they couldn't pay for the new rents because they could in San Francisco, they started jacking up the price. And once the lease expired, you know, they instead of renewing it, they couldn't afford it. This kind of thing, it just baffles me that these companies do this so consistently.
Well, I mean, it's just bad management. That's the bottom line of that.
Yeah, well,
so
yeah, I would say.
Obviously.
But it looks good on paper. Lots of companies have done this deal where they sell their buildings and their real estate for some because it looks better and the tax, I guess they get a better deal on taxes. And I'm sure there's some rationale that I don't know.
Well, a lot of it has to do probably with that their product offerings are diminishing or their sales are going down. They have to do something to clean up their books and take some of the, take some of the assets and convert them into cash. And that's the stupidest thing ever because why would you do something like that if you'd just be done with it? Just at that point, just close it down and say, screw it. Unless you're going to reinvent yourself and then take that money and redeploy it to something that is going to be able to create a significant amount of money, why take that good money and put it into bed? I mean, this is Radio Shack. Radio Shack could have had a significant foothold if they did it right in the electronics space online with online sales. Obviously, they'd have their issues, but they didn't change with the times. It's the same thing as Blockbuster Video.
Or Sears, for that matter.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a company that should have been the Amazon of Amazons.
Right. Exactly. A new report showing that, hold your seat here, 48 million Twitter accounts are bots. That's about, what, 10%, right?
I don't know what the total number is, but it wouldn't surprise me. There's a lot of bots on Twitter. Yeah. Lots.
Yeah. So we have, looking at this here, there's 48 million. I would like to make an official and a public announcement here. A congratulations to Susan Boyle. Remember her?
Oh, yeah.
The singer. Have you seen her before and after pictures, after her weight loss?
No.
Look at how good she looks.
You have a picture here rundown?
On a relative basis, that is. Yeah, there's a picture over on DH Unplugged. You can check that out. Just click on the little thing that says Susan Boyle. See that on the bottom?
I'm looking. There it is. Yeah, she looks pretty much the same.
The same, but a better version. And before we get to one of my favorite stories here, I want to mention also another congratulations to Edith Fuller, who was the youngest ever 5-year-old girl to win a place at the National Spelling Bee. Should be another E on that spelling bee. She took the local competition with the word Gnania. Gnia. Something like
Gnian.
That. Gnian.
Gian. Yeah. G-Y-A-N. Yes. But it's J-N-A-N-A.
Yep. Sanskrit term for knowledge in Indian philosophy and religion. So she won it with that. 5 years old.
That's unusual because most of these winners are actually Indians.
That's kind of funny. So the winner who was not an Indian won on an Indian word.
Yeah, that's funny.
Let's talk about my favorite story before we get to our stocks, where we're going to talk about things in a moment. This has got to be one of my, not only my favorite story of this discussion in this episode, this, if you really kind of get into thinking about this story, the brilliance here is unparalleled. Okay? Let me take you through this. So last Wednesday, a guy named Steven Gutierrez, he's a Florida defense attorney. Okay? Now, let me set the stage. He is defending a gentleman against the charges that the gentleman committed arson by setting ablaze his car. You with me so far?
Okay.
He argued that the client was not guilty of arson as the car spontaneously combusted. So this guy, who's 28 years old, is in the Miami-Dade courtroom defending this guy, Claudie Charles, okay? Now, during the closing arguments, Gutierrez began to feel some heat coming from his pockets in his pants, his back pants pocket, where he had several e-cigarette batteries. His pants started smoking and caught fire. Okay? Spontaneously combusting.
I've heard some good courtroom shenanigans, but this is a good one.
He argued he has to be taken to the bathroom to put his pants out and comes back and swears this was not planned at all. And again, demanding that his client was not guilty and showing how this, by the way, spontaneous combustion can happen. I don't know if actually the guy got off or not, but how brilliant is this?
Yeah, I guess. Well, at least he wasn't claiming spontaneous human combustion, which is something that is more interesting.
Anyway, I thought it was interesting. And you mentioned you're writing for PC Magazine.
About these little cameras, these little 4K movie cameras.
Yeah. So you gotta walk around and do some fun. Now, what you need to do now, though, is after you take some of these videos, now you got to do, well, how do I put these together and make something really cool out of it?
Yeah, that entails video editing,
yeah,
which I used to do.
That's the problem.
I won't do it anymore. It is too, video editing per se is too time consuming.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're really good at it and you have, you know, everything set up.
No, even if you're good at it, it's time consuming. And so what I'm going to do is maybe if I get a couple of short videos that are kind of interesting, I'll just run it raw, put it on YouTube or something. Mm.
All right, let's get to the stocks that we have and take a look at what's going on there. And this is not anything more than a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation either if, in fact, you decide for whatever reason that you have a moment of insanity to do anything that we talk about, buy anything, put your money on any of the things that we talk about, then you need to go and find a qualified financial advisor to pass it through because you could lose a lot of money with any of these ideas. We're not taking responsibility. John C. DeVark, myself, Horowitz Company clients may own any of the stocks mentioned. We will duly note that, and you can follow these over on DH Unplugged. If you haven't done so already, you need to go over there and check it out because it's really cool how the actual spreadsheet and the updates and all that works to show what's in, what's out, what the profits are and all that. It's all listed on there, et cetera. So you can see, by the way, how the TBT continues to move. See that? How the short long bond? That's exactly what we talked about earlier with that chart.
That's what's supposed to happen.
That's exactly what we buy is supposed to go up.
And, of course, on the top of the list is still Barclays, which is up to 51%. And the TBT is up 25%. I noticed that within one show, my Snap short is up almost 7%.
Yep.
Which is the only short I've had on here. And then you have Tesla short, which was a good one.
I'm not sure why that was up 5% today. I got to look into that.
Yeah.
Instead of nowhere. But that's what Tesla does.
Yeah, Tesla's a real bouncer. Walgreens Boots Alliance, I was hoping to be doing a little more than this, but okay. And very disappointed in you. You have the short on Facebook, which is not performed.
Yeah. Everything goes up. Even the crap goes up. Look at Qualcomm. That's the point.
Yes, I don't think that this is going to continue, so I'm going to look on the short side for stuff.
Resolute Energy was actually stopped out, up 33%. Took that out. That got booted. Jack in the Box not doing so well. Nugget, we have a large stops on a couple of these, so that's going to play out. We'll see tomorrow. That's going to be the big play tomorrow, is it's going to be Nugget when the Fed comes out in the afternoon and gives their statement, and if they are a little bit more dovish, because right now everybody's starting to really, the juices are starting to flow that the Fed is, oh my, so hawkish here, and I don't know. They just, I don't think have the, I would wish they would continue to be hawkish and make sure that things are contained. However, because you don't want to go over the top of, you know, the top of the Niagara Falls here in a barrel, you know, with them just being behind the curve here. But I just don't think they have the ability to do so. I just don't think it's in the blood for Yellen to be at all anything but very dovish to mildly dovish.
Yeah, I agree. And continue with her approach of having zero personality.
Yeah. By the way, remember Calava Growlers, my avocado play?
Yes, it took off.
Oh, boy, that we got stopped out, but man, that was something. That move.
Yeah, that was what you call an example of bad timing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I have one pick for this week, something that I've watched for a while. I actually bought this recently. I'll actually note that right here that we have a disclosure. I bought that personally. Cara Therapeutics, C-A-R-A. They have a variety of drugs in the pipeline.
You're going long on this?
Yes, going long. They have a variety of drugs in the pipeline. They have a variety of these specialized opioid, opioid inhibitors, blah, 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 blah. A variety of medicines that are for the treatment in a safer way for pain management. And some of them that are involved in the marijuana area.
Oh, okay.
So that those are kind of a little bit earlier in stage of their process, but still, it seems that the company missed their earnings by a mile and a half just 3 days ago. Company, I think it was about $18 a share, came down to 15 or so, got down to this like 14.50. This is not the first time I've seen this thing at 14.50. At 14.50, there is some support here. There is 12.50 is a really good number, and I was waiting a few times for okay, it gets down to 14, let's get it down to 12.5, and we'll. Both hands will buy into this thing, right? Mm. Every time it got to these ranges, it seems to bounce. Now, that being said, which I hate that phrase, by the way, or to his point, hate that one too. The thing is that usually two or three times is usually the breaker of deals. So we'll have to see how this plays out right here. But there's a technical bounce setup happening right now with Cara Therapeutics, symbol C-A-R-A.
CA, okay.
What do you got?
Well, I don't have anything good.
Oh.
But I can play a few couple of things just based on just some charts that are kind of interesting. Gilead Sciences chart, for example.
Oh my. The problem with them is, do you know what the problem with them is? They have a Hep C cure. They made all their money on the Hep C cure. The problem is when they cure the Hep C, there is no people that need to take the drug anymore.
Well, it doesn't look good. Their chart is the worst, one of the worst charts I've ever seen.
Because they're curing things. Bad.
Yeah, well, heaven forbid.
Bad drug company. Yeah, what kind of a drug company cures things? What are they, idiots?
Yeah, well, that's the way it goes nowadays. But unless they come up with something new, I suspect, you know, these companies got to have a lot of resources so they can do stuff. But right now, because of this chart, I'm going to short it.
You're going to short Gilead, G-I-L-D.
Yeah, I'm doing it with the thinking that if these analysts are correct and we're going to have the beginning of the end tomorrow, there should be some good short opportunities. And since this thing's already a good short opportunity, it should be a better one.
Okay. All right.
We'll see.
All right.
It's not my normal theories of using insider analysis. This is just more of a chart thing.
But this chart is really bad.
What's it trading at? $67 right now?
Yeah, something like that.
Bad chart. Bad chart. That's yours. Bad chart. JCD pick. Okay, we got that. What else?
That's it.
That's it. Okay, so we got a bad chart. Episode 3. Okay, that's all there. So what will happen is that this will be updated at about 9:45 in the morning because nothing trades before then. And you'll see that over on DH Unplugged. I'll mention again, by the way, that it's very important that you, for my and John's birthday, because we may feel bad if you don't, is for you to donate a couple of shekels over to the DH Unplugged podcast. And this way we can have money to buy shirts and to do this kind of cool stuff that we do all the time. And it's wonderful broadcasting that you can't live without. And of course, you could follow John C. Dvorak on Twitter at The Real Dvorak. Listen to the wonderful and the ever deconstructing views of not only John, but Adam Curry on Thursdays and Sundays of each and every week. They're live, I think, at 12 in the afternoon Eastern time on both days. And I listen to it quite often. Let me ask you a question. Do you just come up with those silly openings? And coming to you from Southern California where the air is toxic or whatever you say. What is that, just off the top? You just rip it out?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Adam's really good at it.
He's brilliant. Just ridiculous. Just master at what he does. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
And you can listen to the show and No Agenda Show. Of course, you can listen to the podcast. You listen to it live as it's streaming. You can get it everywhere. And also The Disciplined Investor, each and every Sunday. It airs sometime during the day. We get it up there. But if you have any questions, just send them in to us. And if you have any bad things to say, we're not listening. Other than that,
keep them to yourself.
Yeah, keep them to yourself. All right, we're going to play the...
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.